You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together. Hi, everyone. This is Helen
and Tracy
and Kara
from MomTalk.ca. Today, we're going to talk a bit about scrapbooking. This is a topic of great interest to the Mom Talk team. We all love taking pictures of our kids and documenting the events of our lives. When we talked about doing this podcast, Tracy immediately said a great title would be, What Are You Missing? So that is the title for today's podcast. So what are you missing? Are you missing out on the great opportunity this hobby has to offer? Or are you maybe missing out on documenting and watching your kids grow through the eyes of a scrapbooker? I have found since becoming a scrapbooker that I am much more aware of my life and the people in my life, all the little things that we do, even the very little things. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And I'm much more aware of the photos that I take nowadays as well. I find I see things much differently, how I'm going to take a photo and how I'm going to set up and pose a photo, for instance, because I know I want to eventually scrapbook that photo later on.
Sometimes I think that I think so much like a scrapbooker that all of my pictures are with the scrapbook in mind. And I'm trying to change that a little bit because sometimes I'll get pictures and my husband will say, what is this? And I'll say, oh, well, that little part right there, I'm going to use my square punch. And he'll say, okay. He'll say, can you just take some pictures that we can look at? So do you think that that is maybe the downside sometimes of scrapbooking, that you get so caught up in the idea of it's going into a scrapbook that you might take the weirdest pictures?
I think now with digital cameras, we're not as concerned about using up all our film, so it's okay to take tons and tons of pictures because you can just throw out the ones you don't take. I find I'm taking pictures of ridiculous things, well, which once seemed ridiculous but might just be perfect to complete a scrapbooking page. For example, we were having a family birthday dinner and I was taking a picture of everyone at the table, or it could have been Thanksgiving, but then I also took a picture of a plate of food. And it seemed weird, and everybody thought I was nuts, but the actual turkey on the plate might be just perfect to complete a page or a Thanksgiving layout.
Yeah, I take pictures of food a lot. If we're at a restaurant, we were in Disney a few months ago, and one of the kids said, oh, wait a second, Mommy's probably going to want to get a picture of this before we eat. So I think maybe I must be taking a lot of pictures of food because now my kids are afraid of eating. Look at that picture. So, yeah, definitely I would say that once you become a scrapbooker, you do start to really take pictures that will tell a story, more so than maybe the one picture our moms might have taken of a family event. We try to take way more so that we can really document them well. And depending on your style, you can get a fair number of pictures on a page to tell your story. But I have to say that once you start to think like a scrapbooker, you still need to kind of have a style. And we've talked about this before where there are so many different styles. And I think if you say just have one friend who scrapbooks, you may think that is what scrapbooking is. So I thought it would be probably a good idea for us to talk a bit about all the different styles and which each one of them is all about. So I think a good place to start is chronological, because I think a lot of people think that is how you should scrapbook. So Kara, we talked about how you have moved away from that. So why don't you share why you have moved away from that?
Yes. Well, I didn't start scrapbooking until my daughter, my eldest daughter, was 9. So that was a lot of backlog of photos, and I was getting super stressed that I had to get everything done chronologically, you know, the page for when she was first born, and then, you know, first birthday and second birthday, and I just felt that it was just too much. I felt like I was always behind and was never going to get caught up. So I kind of let go of that. If I found a photo that was inspirational or a great photo, great shot, then that's what I would scrapbook. I wasn't so caught up with having to get those milestones done. And now I have done some milestones, don't get me wrong. I enjoy doing those too, but I found that being stressed out and having all the backlog of photos from before, I couldn't let that get in the way. I had to do what I felt was right at the time. And if a photo inspired me, then that's what I would scrapbook, or a special story that I found.
That's good, because it can take the fun out of it if you try to do things in a chronological order.
I totally agree, especially if you started late. And I'm similar to Kara, where you have this huge box of photos, or maybe many boxes of photos, where you think, okay, I've got to scrapbook all of those. I think chronological scrapbooking is good in some ways, and certainly those milestones and like maybe your baby's first year. But I think just letting go of the fact that you may not scrapbook every single picture you have in your house is probably very freeing. And I know since I gave up the idea of chronological scrapbooking, it actually never really got that whole concept. Maybe that's what took me so long to get into scrapbooking. Even I have all these pictures of our wedding and my life with my husband before we were married and before we had kids. And then I took this course online, and instead of doing a wedding scrapbook, I did this scrapbook that's called The Greatest Love Story Ever Told. And it's not a chronological book, but it's just all of the special things about my relationship. So now it's like I'm done that, and now I can give up the fact that I'm not going to have this wedding album,
right,
which, I mean, I think a lot of people have them and they're really nice, but for me it was too stressful thinking about I was never going to get it done. So now there are a few wedding pictures in that album, and I'm happy with that album. Tracy, I know you have done some interesting layouts about your daughter and different milestones, and that some of those layouts would be things people might not think to do, but still kind of important when she looks back on them years down the road.
Yeah, my daughter, I did one, she'd kill me if she thought I was telling people about it, but I did a layout on the first day she got her period, and she called it her dot, and the layout's called Got My Dot, and it's just pictures of her, just, actually, she looks so much like a little girl, and other people won't know the meaning behind it, but we'll always know, and I think that'll be great for her to look back on someday.
Yeah, I think that's really neat.
I also did another kind of layout I love to do is the name of your child at whatever age they are. So if it's Jenny at 13, then, you know, there's a picture of Jenny and all kinds of embellishments, the stylish page, but all her favorite things when she's 13 years old.
I actually scrapbooked that idea from you, Tracy, and did a similar page of Mackenzie when she was 9 and all the things she was into, like she loved turkey dinner and she loved to play Nintendogs and
yeah,
things like that.
Their favorite TV shows.
Yes.
Or their, you know, favorite friends.
Because you don't remember those things later
on.
You don't know what was popular at that time. So
yeah.
I really like that style too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea. I think actually doing one of those every year is a great idea, because even if you do happen to take a bunch of pictures of them, to get all of those ideas all come into your head at the same time, and you probably wouldn't take a picture of, well, I probably would now, take a picture of their favorite cereal or their favorite sneakers or some other object that they really like, you can put in words and it will come back to them later on, eh?
Yeah.
But I agree, you don't remember. I wish I had have done that earlier because I don't remember.
I know. And one thing that it drives me nuts when I think about this. I didn't start scrapbooking until my kids were quite a bit older than yours. But my boys made the most fantastic Lego towns and spaceships and boats, and they were so intricate. And I know, I wish I'd taken pictures of them, even just a couple, and scrapbooked around those, or even just had those pictures for them to see. And that, you know, would make such great memories. If I had it to do all over again, I'd definitely be taking pictures of those kind of things.
Tracy, you're talking about one of your pages having lots of embellishments. That's kind of another part of style of scrapbooking, in that if you only have a few people you know who scrapbook, or maybe you've seen a magazine or gone on a website and look, you may see pages that have lots and lots of embellishments, and that might make you not want a scrapbook. You might think scrapbooking is too expensive. There certainly are many different styles, and even within our own albums, some of our pages may be very simple and not have a lot of embellishments, and other pages may have more. I think each page kind of speaks to you as to what it really means.
True. I find that, too, that you can make your own embellishments and things as well. Like, you don't have to always stick to yeah, exactly. Like, for instance, I did a page, I had a sweet picture of my little brothers, my dad's little boys, and they were standing at the top of the stairs, both sitting in a pair of my dad's jeans and had them kind of pulled up to their elbows.
Right.
And what I did was I cut off a pocket off of an old pair of jeans I had and stuck the picture inside the jean pocket and use that as a centerpiece of the photo. And it was a great shot. And I find I look at things and I get an idea and say, well, I could use that on a scrapbook page. It, you know, it doesn't always have to be a scrapbooking embellishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those everyday things that you have. I saw a layout where they had, it was for a toddler, and they had all of their tags from their clothes on the page. And it kind of showed like Oshkosh and all those kinds of things that help them to identify that time in the child's life. And then even their size. And maybe if you have a really big kid who's maybe size 2 when all of their little friends are size 1 or whatever, then that might be significant. Or maybe every pair of their pants are Oshkosh because, you know, you like putting little overalls on them. So I like that. And those are also inexpensive because you can just take them right out of their clothes.
I had a friend of mine is documenting her weight loss. And when she'd fit into a new size clothing, she would put the tag, you know, to her it was a much smaller size. And she would put the tag of the piece of clothing in her layout.
Oh, that's really neat. So I think once you've decided you want to take on scrapbooking and you have an idea of maybe the style that appeals most to you, and again, chronological is not the wrong way to do it. It's just I think more people are thinking outside the box. And so if you do decide to start scrapbooking, then don't feel that you have to do it chronological, even if all of your friends are. You can mix it up a little bit. But in order to scrapbook, you need tools. So later in the show, we're going to reveal a weekly top 5, and we're going to be talking about tools that we all need to start this hobby. But I thought before that, we could just talk a bit about how what type of tools we each use, because there are so many of them out there, and even maybe sharing maybe our favorite tool from early on, because I'm sure they've all changed over the last few years. So Carol, why don't you give it a roll?
Sure. Well, obviously, my very first tool I bought was my paper trimmer. And I'll have to apologize. I have my little guy here, Finn, my 3-month-old, and he's making a lot of noise. So if you hear some little noises in the background, it's because of him.
I can hear him gulping milk, Kara.
Yes, he was gulping milk.
And let's just clarify what kind of milk it is.
He is nursing here. He's drinking breast milk. So my first tool that I bought was my paper trimmer. And I'll tell you, I wish I had bought one of these even before I even start scrapbooking. It's like the easiest way to cut a straight line, and I can't cut a straight line. So my little Fiskars paper trimmer that I think I paid $15 for has been the best $15 I've ever spent.
Tracy, do you have a tool that you use that you had from way back that is other than a trimmer?
I think my favorite tool was my corner rounder, and that's just a little snippy tool that makes corners round. I use that a lot. In the beginning, and I don't use it as often now, but I still couldn't be without it.
I have one of those too, and I love them.
Yeah, I still use that one. My favorite tool is a square punch. I still use it all the time, and it's basically, I think it's like maybe 1.5 or 2 inch square, and I love it because I can go into pictures, especially the old pictures before I really started scrapbooking, and I tend to move in on my subjects now more, but I can go in and take a little clump. So when I did Emmy's back to school page this year, I was able to take a whole bunch of pictures, and my husband took some as well. I just went in and kind of grabbed some of the things that really helped me to think about back to school. And I have pictures of one of her girlfriends and her backpack and her shoes. And I really love that tool because it's almost like creating a little mini picture. And you can take 2 or 3 things from one picture and create 3 different pictures for your page. So just to move on with the tools. The tools obviously have grown quite a bit, and like I said, we'll talk a bit about some of the ones to get started, but I wanted to mention this one tool, which I think that especially if you have a baby, and especially if that baby tends to be a light sleeper, and actually Tracy introduced this tool to me, it's called a Cropodile, and it's for setting brads, and if you've ever set a brad with a hammer, you know how noisy that can be. This tool is basically a silent tool, and it works amazingly, wouldn't you say, Tracy?
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that for everybody, but especially for a mom who has a baby or a child in the house that's having naps, and she wants a scrapbook but doesn't want to wake them up with her noisy hammer.
I actually have a similar tool. It's the Making Memories Instant Setter, and I actually bought it for the same reason, but it was more so that I didn't want my boys running around the house with the little mini hammer. And it works great. It's quiet, and it works really well.
What other tools do you guys think that are a must-have, just generally speaking? Paper. I guess it's not technically a tool, but in order to really get started, you really need some paper.
I'm a paper junkie.
Definitely, yeah.
I'm a paper addict.
But don't buy too much up front, because that was my problem. I bought these huge, giant slabs of paper.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to use probably 3/4 of that I bought.
And is that like the pattern ones?
Yeah, patterns. Okay. And it seemed like a good deal at the time when I was first started. And I wish I hadn't bought those big giant slabs. Now, some of them were okay, but a lot of the pieces I will never have use for. And I like coordinating different papers together, like of the same kind of color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that none of them really worked well together with each other. So
yeah, I have a lot of that. And actually, I think if you do have a lot and you want to get rid of it, donating it to a school for projects or letting your kids have it for the craft table so that frees you up from feeling like you have to use this up somehow.
Excellent idea.
Because some of it just doesn't work and you learn from your mistakes. I would say having a good selection of cardstock is a must because I think you'll always use it. And eventually you'll use whatever colors you do buy. But I would definitely just buy the pattern paper kind of on an as-needed basis.
Yeah. When I first got into scrapbooking, I did buy one of those great big slabs. And I felt like I did get quite a bit of use out of it. But then again, I only bought one slab. And it was great to get going. But I still, of course, have all kinds from that slab that I've got in my giveaway bag.
So we have some basic tools. And again, we'll talk a bit about that in a minute. We have our style. And the whole idea is once you have pictures and you create your pages, there really aren't any stories happening there unless you include journaling. And I know Tracy and I have talked about this, and I myself, since becoming a computer user, my writing is not as neat as it used to be. So I tend not to want to write, but Tracy talked me into including some writing, even if it's just occasionally. And I think at this moment, I might not think it's that important, but when I see writing from my grandmother or even my mom, it's kind of neat to see that. So I would definitely encourage people to actually get their pens out and do some writing. But I just thought we should just touch on kind of like the approach to journaling. Again, it can be complex or it can be simple. Tracy, what kind of journaling would you say that you include on most of your pages?
I kind of do a variety. I used to do a lot of actual printing from my computer and then cutting out and putting it on the pages. And then I had this whole revelation about my handwriting that, you know, even though I have terrible handwriting, someday someone would enjoy looking at that old scribble. So what I usually do is I try to incorporate a little bit of my own handwriting along with stamp or regular computer journaling. For me, it's kind of a conscious effort to get that journaling in now. I find I really have to push myself.
Yeah, I find I'll get a page completely done and then I'll leave a spot empty for my journaling and then it kind of gets put on the back burner and I'll be like, okay, well that's the spot, that's where I'm going to write the story. And I have to really consciously say I'm going to either write it up right now or get it written on the computer and do it.
Yeah, but I have a lot of those pages that I didn't do the journaling. And then now it's like, well, what was I going to say? So I guess if you want to do it on the computer and can't do it right then because maybe you're out at a friend's house scrapbooking, even making a note and setting it there so you have a journal idea on paper so you don't forget, but probably even better if you're in a situation where you don't have a computer, then just write it out
right, so
that it's on there.
I know a lot of people are conscious about their handwriting, and me too, I'm one of them. And people always say, well, your handwriting's great, but I always feel conscious. But there's a great way of doing journaling on your page. You can do a hidden journal.
Yeah.
And, you know, either have a little pull tab behind your photo where you can pull it out and then you can look at the journaling that way if you don't want it just splash right on the middle of your page. That's a great way of still having that handwriting there,
right,
but yet not having it right out in the middle of your page.
And then even when Tracy was talking about doing a page where you kind of capture your child's favorites for that particular year, that is technically journaling. It's not in a paragraph form, but still, every time you put a little bullet, you are adding to that page. So you can keep it simple that way and still say that you've journaled the page, right? I've done pages where I didn't really want to put any journaling because it wasn't really that I was capturing an event or anything. It was just something maybe my son did or my daughter did. But now when I look back at it, I think at the time it seemed like the right thing to do, but now I don't really know the story. So I think even if you stick something in the scrapbook behind to explain that, even if it's not actually part of your page, so that, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 years
it'll
down the line, someone
memory.
Opens it up, they'll have something other than cool kid or something like that.
I like to do a lot of computer journaling as well, and I like different fonts. There's a great website out there called www.thefonts.com, and it's literally tens of thousands of different fonts free to download. And I like to sometimes theme my fonts. So, for instance, I did a really cute Christmas page, and I found a snowflake font in there. Cool. And so I use snowflake letters for part of the layout. So, yeah, it's a great site to be able to get some different fonts, and you can actually preview them before you download them to see if your text is going to look nice or not.
So you're a closet font junkie.
Yes, I am.
I'm a font junkie, too. I just love them. And, you know, if stylizing isn't your thing, you can get so much inspiration by just looking at the front of magazines or looking around at other people's layouts. So if you do have a hard time with it, you can get some ideas, and then you can reproduce them. And I don't know what you call it when you take away just the font part, but the whole idea of taking someone else's idea is referred to in the scrapbooking industry as scraplifting. But I think most people consider it...
It's not a derogatory term. It's more of a flattering term.
Yes. Yeah. It's a compliment to their creativity.
Yeah. Right.
So I wanted to, especially for those listening who have never scrapbooked, if they were to pull together the supplies they need to do some basic stuff, I thought we could just talk about where it is that people scrapbook, because there are many of us who do scrapbooking at home alone, but many people actually only scrapbook out of their home. So, Tracy, I know you are part of a scrapbooking group, and you meet weekly, right?
Right.
So why don't you kind of share just what you do in hopes that people can locate something similar?
Well, I connected through my local scrapbooking store, which they have classes, and then I started going to a lot of the classes and made friends with the girls, and we decided to start meeting once a week on our own, so that's what we do. We get together and hang out, and it's a great time. We've made friends. We've actually, a couple weekends ago, we went on a scrapbooking retreat, and we rented an entire bed and breakfast and scrapped all weekend from Friday afternoon until Sunday afternoon. So really, the best way, if you're really interested in meeting up with other scrapbookers, a really good way to do that is through your local scrapbooking store.
And if you don't have a local scrapbooking store, like I don't, unfortunately, I think if you network with some mums and just mention that you're interested in scrapbooking, I think there are, you know, little groups in all towns that provide that opportunity to get out and do some scrapbooking.
I think even people on the Canadian Parents Boards have met up for scrapbooking as well.
Yes, they definitely have. There's been a few different times that they've organized little mini crops with each other and got together to do some scrapbooking. And I believe that they've either done that through their local regional board, or we also have a crafts and hobbies board. And so there's quite a few threads there going about scrapbooking right now.
It'd be worth posting where, you know, if you're in a certain town looking for scrapbookers, that you may be able to connect with somebody from Canadian Parents Board.
Yeah, because scrapbookers are always looking to scrapbook.
Yes. I know Kara and I are preparing for an all-day scrap. And Kara has done this before, but it's my very first. So I was emailing her earlier in the week saying, what do? How do I prepare? What do I take? Tracy's idea is just take it all. It's like, but that would take forever. And I've just finished organizing it all, so I don't want to get it all unorganized. But the whole day idea, I think, is a good one. For me, I know I have a whole bunch of stuff that I would really like to get done. But Kara, because you've gone to an all-day scrap before, other than the getting together with other people, what's the whole point to doing it for an entire day?
I just like being around and looking, getting the inspiration from others, and, you know, just sitting there and chatting with different scrapbookers and that have completely different styles than you, and it's great. I mean, I get a lot of inspiration from the few crops that I've been to all day ones. And yeah, no, it's a great time. It's a great way to spend your day, for sure.
So I have to mention this. Tracy said the other day, if there was a fire in my house, other than my kids and my husband, what would I grab? So I waited for a second thinking, she went, well, wouldn't you take your scrapbooks? So I'm like, yeah. Because it takes a while to create them all, and I think anybody who does scrapbooking would probably think of that. Are your scrapbooks close to where your door is, girls?
Oh, yeah.
I know exactly where my scrapbooks are, and they would be one of the first things to come with me once my kids were out the door.
See, mine are downstairs, so I would maybe have to risk my life to get them, and that probably wouldn't be a good idea. But I did tell Tracy that I keep all of my digital prints, and I am trying to make a transfer from all my paper ones, scanning them. But I keep them on one of those little memory sticks in our safety deposit box. So even though I wouldn't want to have to redo everything I have done, and I'm a baby in the scrapbooking world, so I don't have nearly as much as you guys do, but at least I'd have my pictures. So if you don't have your picture somewhere safe.
Yeah, another great idea, too, Helen, is to get a photo of your finished layout. True, and I've done that. I like to post my layouts on online galleries and things. So I actually will take digital images or scan my layout. And so at least if I did happen to lose it or it got damaged somehow, then I would still have an actual photo of the layout and I could print it. I wouldn't be able to print it to size, but because it was a 12 by 12. But at least I have that there to be able to look at.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so before we talk top five tools, I just have to mention this. I think all of us are very aware of big picture scrapbooking. So I just wanted to touch on this and we can explore it a bit more in a future podcast. But when Tracy and Kara first told me that big picture scrapbooking, I was thinking, oh, it's big pictures on walls. Then I read it and realized it's really a whole philosophy and it's much different than what I think scrapbooking might have started as. And it certainly has made a big difference in my approach to scrapbooking. And Kara, I think that you probably would share the same sentiment.
Yes, definitely. I guess we should mention it's by Stacy Julian, the book, Big Picture. And actually, Tracy lent the copy to me. And I can't believe I just sat there and I read from cover to cover. And I don't normally do that in a book. I usually, will flip through pages, look at a different chapter. But I read it right from beginning to end. And it really brought everything to light for me. I don't have to rush. I don't have to do that photo right there. And then when I have it, I just take the time and see the bigger picture of scrapbooking. It doesn't always have to be about doing everything chronologically. And that's where I really got some great ideas from that book.
So, as with every podcast, we have top five. And today's top five is dealing with the top five products that you should have on hand if you're starting scrapbooking. So, Kara, from the Canadian Parents Boards, what do they have to say?
Yes, well, we pulled our posters, and they've come up with a top five. And number five would be, obviously, inspirational photos. Number four, some sort of adhesive, either glue sticks or photo tabs. Number three, embellishments. That can be an array of different things like ribbons, stickers, letters, tag. Number two, a paper trimmer. The number one thing to have will definitely be a scrapbook and paper and cardstock.
Thanks, Kara. Thanks for joining us today to talk about scrapbooking. As you can tell, we're very passionate about this topic and we will explore it in more detail in future podcasts. For more information on today's podcast, please visit momtalk.ca, and to connect with moms across Canada and around the world, visit CanadianParents.com. Bye for now.